Welcome to another Fleming Foundation's Take 5. I'm Rex Scott. Along with me today again is Dr. Thomas Fleming. Well, Doctor, the big controversy is Alabama has signed into law a ban against abortion. Pro-choice activists are naturally opposed to any restrictions. Do they have any valid points to make? What's your take?
Well, advocates of infanticide, because that's what we're talking about, taking the life of an unborn child, they are almost never consistent in their argument, and thus they rule themselves out of a serious discussion. And I've got into debates many, many times, and I can never find them taking a stand on any consistent point. But they do make a kind of libertarian argument that you have a right to do anything you like with your own body. You know, libertarian philosophers say you own your body, which is preposterous because you didn't buy it or rent it, or it's given to you as a gift, either by nature or by God. But libertarians, when they use this language of owning your own body, they make a stipulation, which is that you cannot use your body to harm anyone else. It's the non-aggression principle. And so if they're going to be consistent in using this argument, they have to follow it through and explain why exactly an unborn baby does not deserve protection.
They are not for fetus personhood, so they do not recognize that within the woman as a person. It's my body, and it had been invaded. For instance, if a woman was raped, she had the choice to say, I'm not going to have this, even if they did call it a person, invade my body. I do not have to be a part of that because it is my body. So
Let's start with personhood. In legal terms, this is one of the few places where the pro-choice people are right without knowing it. What they mean to say is that an unborn baby is not a human being. And this is ridiculous because from the moment of conception, it is an evolving project. And frankly, most of the people I know at your age have not become fully human, so much less a newborn or a two-year-old or a five-year-old.
Right.
But in legal terms, a person before the law has certain specific rights. Personhood is a legal concept. Children cannot be persons because they have to be represented in the court by parents or guardians or some other representative. In the old days, wives were not persons in the law, nor were foreigners. Foreigners couldn't sue. You know, this is very recent idea that illegal aliens somehow have legal rights in America. They don't. Now, the pro-life forces in insisting on the term person have really muddied the waters and displayed their ignorance. And it's a shame because obviously morally the pro-life party is perfectly right. But on this specific thing, what it leads to is their false idea that there's such a thing as a right to life. In other words, is this a universal claim and that if I think that my next door neighbor is smoking cigarettes while she's pregnant, I should go and slap it out of her hands and call the police? Because that's where that kind of thinking leads. Now, the important thing is the mother's duty.
There's definitely a difference between a person and a human. Those are two classifications.
That's right. We're dealing with a legal concept, and so I think it's better just to refer to it, is it human or not human? Because personhood then leads, as I said, to the argument of rights. And the argument of rights is what got us Roe v. Wade, that a woman had a right to privacy, she had a right to control, protect her own body.
But the baby does have rights.
I can't imagine what rights it has. Can't have civil rights because they're not in the law. The whole idea of, say, natural law or natural right is it's a theory which I don't have to subscribe to. The mother has a duty that comes from nature and from God and, until recently, from the law. She has a duty to protect her child, but that law is not convertible. That responsibility is not convertible into a right on the child's part. This is very well understood, say, by Thomas Aquinas. It's well understood by Aristotle. It's an established part of moral philosophy, except for those people who advocate rights theories, which, as one great liberal described it, this was not only nonsense, it was nonsense on stilts.
Well, if the mother was advocating properly for the unborn child, the child would live.
And of course,
so
of course.
She has to advocate. Mother, so if she doesn't advocate, who's going to advocate for that unborn child? Or are you saying that he or she does not have an advocate?
Well, what I'm saying is, if you want the government to take it over, as they've taken over marriage and divorce, then what you're asking for is the government to say who lives and who dies. And I think government would like to be able to make that decision. Mm. So historically, it is family. But suppose a woman is in a coma and her husband is dead. Who in a traditional society is then empowered? Well, next of kin. For example, mother's parents or in most cases, actually, father's parents,
right,
or siblings. It is a matter within the family. The rights of children and the rights of women, if you want to use that language, they are much better protected when they are protected by those who love them and have a duty to love them. The monstrous thing about abortion, about prenatal infanticide, is that a mother who has the most important task given to the human race, which is to bear and nourish children and to cherish them,
yes,
and take care of them, that she would then be so cold-hearted and so cold-blooded, she would murder her own child. Mm. This is inconceivable. Only the worst villains, only the worst monsters in history, creatures from ancient mythology do this.
Right.
Normal human beings don't do it. And we have a country where they claim it's some kind of right.
Well, that is an extreme view, but some of the critics say the new Alabama law is too extreme. For example, no provision for incest or rape.
Well, there are two aspects to this, which, if we're going to talk about it strictly as a moral case rather than as a legal case, this is really a non-issue. Only a tiny percentage of abortions are performed because a woman has been raped and impregnated or because of incest. From the ethical point of view, mm-hmm, the baby cannot be held at fault for whatever crimes were committed by either parent. Just because, Rex, my father may have done something that I get executed for it, this is absolutely morally absurd.
Right. Okay, the other extreme part of the Alabama law is life imprisonment for doctors, 99 years, Class A felony.
Well, I have no problem with a hired killer getting 99 years. And in fact, I have no trouble with seeing them executed. And I love these repentant abortion doctors like Bernie Nathanson who become Christian and all of a sudden remember what they forgot to watch during embryology class. No, these people are making money. Now, many of them believe they're doing a public service, but so do the people who work for Murder Incorporated. Whatever constitutionally legal punishment they receive may be too little. But on the other hand, the mother who kills her own baby should be treated even more harshly, and she's left untouched in this because the whole pro-life industry doesn't want to alienate women by saying they are guilty. The woman is more guilty than her doctor. What does the doctor care? It's not his kid. Many of these doctors wouldn't dream of aborting their own child. They're willing to do it for somebody else. It is a far worse moral sin to be doing it to your own child, because that is the child you are uniquely called upon to take
yes.
care of.
Well, I guess the bottom line is will this stand up in federal court?
Well, I don't think so. There'll be challenges immediately in the courts. It may go all the way to the Supreme Court. Set aside Roe v. Wade and everything else that's gone along with it, which mm-hmm. would make this law untenable. But ever since the theory of the incorporation doctrine, which says that the Bill of Rights is incorporated into the 14th Amendment. And so, therefore, we read the Bill of Rights through the 14th Amendment. So that means the federal government has the obligation to protect the rights of individual citizens within the states. By the standards of law in most states, the Alabama law is extreme and untenable and unconstitutional. And so, under challenge, I'd like to think that all of a sudden there would be a moral and spiritual revolution in America, but that's not going to happen.
So this might not be a good idea. This might be a bad idea, actually.
It depends on what they think they're doing in Alabama. If they wanted a pragmatic approach to restricting abortion, this is not it. Hmm. And I have to say the pro-life cause has often made mistakes by going too far. Mm. Now, Pat Robertson has condemned the law as extreme, but with his usual fuzzy rhetoric and fuzzy thought, if what he means is simply this, that the law can't stand up and therefore it's damaging to the pro-life cause, I would say yes. But in the past, Robertson has advocated and stood behind things that were similarly impractical that did not save one baby's life. Mm. Now, on the other hand, there are probably people involved in drafting the Alabama law who are taking the opportunity to take their stand on the principle that innocent life shall not be killed under the American legal system.
Agreed.
And it is what they used to call the gauge of defiance. If they're throwing down the challenge saying, which side are you on? Are you on the side of protecting innocent life or are you a baby killer? Unfortunately, in exempting the homicidal mother, who's even more guilty, they are betraying a certain degree of cowardice and confusion.